Maivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Ladies. Samarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagna Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagna Brahmanahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagna Brahmanahutam Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Brahma, spiritual in nature. Arpanam, contribution. Brahma, the supreme. Havihi, butter. Brahma, spiritual. Agnau, in the fire of consummation. Brahmana, by the spirit soul. Hutam, offered. Brahma, spiritual kingdom. Eva, certainly. Tena, by him. Gantavyam, to be reached. Brahma, spiritual. Karma, in activities. Samadhina, by complete absorption. Translation: a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. That was my perfect cue. Thank you very much. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness, and all of them will be described in the following verses. But for the present, just the principle of Krishna consciousness is described. A conditioned soul, entangled in material contamination, is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yet he has to get out of such an environment. The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient who is suffering from a disorder of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely curds. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness, as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as yajna, or activities, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness, kirtan's over. Little kids don't know when kirtan is over. Try again. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness, or For Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma or Brahman means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual, and the rays of His transcendental body are called Brahmajyoti, His spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahmajyotir. But when the Jyotir is covered by illusion, maya, or sense gratification, it is called material. This material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor and the results are all combined together. Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Now he's going to repeat. The Absolute Truth, covered by Maya, is called matter. Matter, dovetailed for the cause of the Absolute Truth, regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman, or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Then again, anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna or sacrifice for the Absolute. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one with the Absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness. Go back. This is Prabhupada is describing here, but it's in reference to the earlier portion of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3. In this purport, he writes, "A conditioned soul, entangled in material contamination, is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yet he has to get out of such an environment." So, the problem, the perplexity of material existence is, we don't belong here. We're spirit soul. And we're in an atmosphere that's matter. I mean, anywhere, any direction you look. This way, that way, above, below, up, down. It's all, we're in this sea of matter. And we're spirit soul. So, what are you supposed to do? Because as soon as you do something in the material atmosphere, there's bondage. And you can't do nothing because you're spirit soul. Spirit souls are active. You're going to be active. So, as the saying goes, damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you engage in material activity, there's bondage and you can't refrain from activity. So what's a good person supposed to do? Be in bondage or go out of existence. You can't go out of existence. Stop being. You can't. Not even for a moment. Because the soul is active. And not only the soul is active, the modes of nature are acting upon the soul, and one's previous karma is acting upon the soul, and we're acting, we're impelled by these conditioning influences. And the solution given in chapter 3 is repeated here. It's yajna. The solution is perform prescribed duties. The prescribed means according to your psychophysical nature. You have a body. You have a mind. And according to your nature of embodiment, gross and subtle, then there are duties that are assigned according to your position. So, perform those duties and render the fruits of those duties to the Supreme by acts of sacrifice. And Krishna says, In the beginning, I sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them, saying, be thou happy by this sacrifice. Perform sacrifice, yajna. So that's the principle that's described in the third chapter and elaborated further through the process of karma yoga. Now here it appears again, and it's going to appear again in the seventh chapter. So, just before these verses, it's verse 24, there's a discussion about, it sounds like word jugglery, or, you know, it's not easy to understand. Krishna says it's not easy to understand the distinction between action and inaction. Because remember chapter 3, he said you can't be inactive. The confusion, or the solution to that confusion, comes by understanding that there's two parts to action. There's the activity itself, and there's a reaction to the activity. Karma means both what you do and the reaction to what you do. It's in the physical plane. And when there's yajna, or sacrifice unto the Supreme, there's no reaction. That's the inaction part. There's no reaction for acts of sacrifice. No bondage. No law of nature that's bringing about a reaction upon, a binding reaction upon that soul. It's liberating. Activities in sacrifice to Vishnu are liberating. It frees the soul from conditioning and complexities of material existence. That's what's being said here in this verse. So the action-inaction description is presented a few verses earlier. Then there's two or three verses where Krishna speaks about one whose mind is fixed in that way, in transcendence. That's the mind, and then there's what you do. The gross body. And what you do, if you're acting in the material atmosphere, but you apply the principle of yajna, then all these things, brahmarpanam, arpana means what? Huh? Offering. So, here he's saying contribution. So, the offering, so that which you offer to Krishna, it becomes sanctified. The place becomes sanctified. The contributor, the person who is providing the article, let's say that the sponsor for the worship, the brahmana himself, the articles themselves, the consuming agent, if it's fire yajna, if it's that kind of a particular, so that it's the tongue of Vishnu, and although it's just fire, otherwise it's just fire. But because it's used in the principle of sacrifice to Vishnu according to proper Vedic regulations and so forth, the fire acts as the tongue of Vishnu. It's Brahma. It's spiritual. The whole, that which is previously binding and material, becomes elevated to the spiritual plane by the act of sacrifice. Now, what Prabhupada has done here, because he's Krishna conscious, he's saying interchangeably, practically, that the translation of yajna that brings things material to the spiritual position, that's Krishna consciousness. That is to say, it's the consciousness behind the activity. It's not simply the activity. You follow. Is it innately spiritual that you ring a bell? That you light a stick of incense and wave a stick of incense? Is it innately spiritual? No. That you place a musical instrument? Is it innately spiritual? No. If it's done in the act of sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, it's the consciousness behind the activity, the prescribed nature of that activity, and the consciousness behind the activity, it becomes elevated to the spiritual platform. The soul, the coverings of the soul, the consciousness of the soul, the whole atmosphere becomes spiritualized by that act of sacrifice. And that's the essence of that is Krishna consciousness. Now I'm going to share a couple of things. I learned this from somebody that, a professor at Columbia University in New York City, used to come regularly to the Hare Krishna Temple in Brooklyn. And I didn't know till later that two of the students that he was bringing to the temple with him, he was training them to become ready to go to Sringeri Math and become Mayavadi sannyasis. I didn't know that. I found out about it later. It was something like what we might do, going to some place to see what Mayavad philosophy is. And he was appreciating. He was a very scholarly type of Columbia University, Ivy League professor. He knew the details of what Vaishnavism is, and he was appreciating to his students they do exactly what Vaishnavas do. Everything, the rituals that we follow, the details, the chamara, everything, the mantras, he knew because he was a scholar. But his idea was it's the worship of the unborn, unmanifest within, because he's a Shankara follower. So we don't know that, and he knows that, from his perspective. We don't know that we're worshiping the unborn within Krishna. We're just kind of nice people that don't have our head on straight. So he shared with me, because we were, before taking prasadam at the Sunday program, we would say the prayer. Everybody in this con learns the prayer. Sharira vijaja vyatendriya taika. The kids can say it, right? Jive pilevisaya sagare. So he said, just as you say that one, we say this one. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahm. Before they eat, because they're mayavadis, and they're doing something material. Eating is something material. How do you take that something material and elevate it and make it spiritual? Offering. And unto whom are you offering? The answer is, not unto whom. Just offering. That's the answer. Should I do it again? I'll tell the story a little differently. Aside from this professor from Columbia University, one devotee, first name is Todd, I forget his last name, American, a bright young, maybe young and young, he was, in his late 20s, early, mid 20s. A very sharp, young American person. So he took some time other than his job, to teach at evening classes, night school classes of some college. There are some colleges in his area in Connecticut. He shared this with me. So he wrote the Mahamantra on the board and was, you know, just explaining to people what Bhagavad Gita is, what mantra is, what reincarnation, karma, and the soul is, and the basic things. And then questions and answers. And then when the class was done, somebody in the class came up to the board and wrote diacritics under the R and the S and the N. And Todd said, "Oh, you know Sanskrit?" He said, "Yes. What you've written is wrong." So he was getting the vibration that he was going to get challenged by this person. And so, but Todd was just being, you know, nice, warm, affable fellow and said, where did you study Sanskrit? And he gave the name of the professor that he studied Sanskrit under, the name I can't remember right now. But it's the professor that Srila Prabhupada, Professor Sthal, Sthal. And when Todd told me that, a bell rang, because when I was a bhakta, Prabhupada had published a little book, his correspondence with Professor Sthal. And Professor Sthal was a hardcore Mayavadi. And back and forth and back and forth, you know, Prabhupada was writing, and the professor wrote back, and the concluding letter, Prabhupada said, "Well, you know, I've spoken what I have to say, and I just, you know, you can make your own decision." Because he was speaking from scripture and reaching different conclusions. Prabhupada had it published as a booklet. Prabhupada wanted us to know the difference between personalism and impersonalism. What do the Vaishnavas say? What those who are not Vaishnavas, what do they say? So we're not just, you know, in La La Land and being sentimental devotees. He wanted us to know. So he said, I was a student of Professor Sthal. So Todd didn't know, but right away I knew this. It's a hardcore Mayavadi. So Todd said, "Well," and the man said, "You've been not only you wrote the Sanskrit wrong, but you've been teaching people the wrong idea." And what's the wrong idea? He said, "The goal is not worshiping Krishna. The goal is sacrifice." And Todd said, "Well, that's very nice, but sacrifice unto whom?" And the answer he got was, "Not unto whom. Sacrifice." This verse that we just recited, according to how it's understood by Shankara followers. Sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice. Not sacrifice unto whom. Just sacrifice unto Brahman, unto it. So that's how they read this. Now we'll go, because we know from our Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a nice verse. Some of you know this nice verse. Vedanta tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam. What's the rest? Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. So some persons, depending upon the conception that they have of what is supreme, it's sacrificed unto Brahman. Not unto whom, but unto Brahman. And what's Brahman? Brahman is truth. Then there are those that have a Paramatma conception of the supreme. And their sacrifices unto the Paramatma or Lord Vishnu. So, some of you may have read or have heard descriptions of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And in Brihat Bhagavatamrita Part 2, there's a description of the planets above Swargaloka. Well, it includes Swargaloka. We know from Gayatri Mantra, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, and then above Swargaloka is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. So when Gopakumar goes to Maharloka, he's fascinated because the people there are more pious than those in heaven. They're more pious in the sense that they're less covered by material desire, because impious is being covered by material desire. And the darker, the more material desire, the more desire is separate from Krishna, because that's exactly what Prabhupada is saying here. The absolute truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter dovetails with the cause of the absolute truth, regains its spiritual quality. What's the difference between material and spiritual? Simple definition. Saying the same thing that's here in a different way. Material means seeing something separate from Krishna. Spiritual means seeing things in relation to Krishna. Pretty simple definition. It's one of the Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam. The essential verses of the whole Bhagavatam says, one of them says, when one sees something as existing separate from its source of emanation and having value in and of itself, know that to be my illusory potency, Maya. And then the opposite. Spiritual is to see its relation with the absolute truth and acting accordingly. That's spiritual. That's Brahma. Brahman. Just as it's being said here. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir. The contribution, the consuming agent, the contributor, the articles, the whole atmosphere. It becomes spiritual again. So in Maharloka, less covered than in the heavenly planets, more spiritual, less covered. They have it's a planet where very, very, very elevated householders go. Not all elevated householders go, but certain elevated householders go there. And their thing, their fascination is with the performance of yajna. And when they perform yajna, one of the things they are so fascinated with is when they make oblations into the fire, Lord Vishnu comes from the fire. With his hands extended, he receives what they're offering into the fire. So they like having long yajnas. And as soon as the yajna is finished, he recedes back in the fire. So they hurry up and start another yajna, because they want to be in the presence of Lord Vishnu, where he's receiving with his hands their offerings. So that's pretty elevated, huh? That's not a Brahman conception. It's not a Bhagavan conception. It's a Vishnu conception, or like Paramatma conception. And then there's the Bhagavan conception. That's beyond this material atmosphere altogether in the spiritual realm. Of course, Brahman is also in the spiritual realm, and Paramatma Vishnu is in the spiritual realm. But not so much just for the pleasure of the personality Godhead. And the Bhagavan conception is realized by those who wish to act simply for the pleasure of the personality Godhead, whatever that may be. Whatever that may be. It's dasya. It starts with service. Service. Engaging the senses, in practical activity contacting sense objects, but not seeing them as matter, but seeing as paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord meant for his worship. So, Brahman conception sees one way. Paramatma conception sees another way. Bhagavan conception sees another way. Following this verse, text 24, there's a series of about 7-8 verses where Krishna gives examples in following this principle of sacrifice. Some do it this way. Some sacrifice that way. Some do sacrifice that way. Some do it this way, that way, the other way. The essence principle is sacrifice. The ultimate application of that sacrifice is to the personality of Godhead Krishna. One may do it with not the same complete understanding, and therefore they'll do it this way, that way, or the other way. Let me read some of the other ways. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them. And some offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. And there's nice purports explaining these things. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as ablations into the fire of the controlled mind. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions. Others by performing severe austerities. By practice of the yoga of the Eightfold Mysticism, or by studying of the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Still others, and it goes on, and others. But there's an essential principle that's described here in text 24. Krishna summarizes in saying, without sacrifice, how can one be happy? In this planet or the next? Unless you're connecting your consciousness with the Supreme through sacrifice. So, without understanding, without proper guidance, by knowledge coming into Siddhic succession, there are these different branches, and you can go with faith in this branch, that branch, or the other branch, just like Krishna later speaks of in divisions of faith, or chapter 7 and chapter 9, Krishna is explaining persons who worship, like this particular description of the worship of the demigods, those sacrifices are meant for me alone. Persons don't know that. They're worshipping Avidhi Purvakam. And they're worshipping without proper knowledge because that knowledge is taken away by their strong desire for sense gratification. Kamaistaistaihrita jnana prapadyante anyadevata. It's not a... Krishna gives the system. He's not condemning the system. It's the system he gives. He's just describing the position. It's the lesser position. It's a not yet complete position. It's an incomplete position. Some acknowledgement is there from Krishna's side that there's sacrifice. The sacrifice, the object unto whom the sacrifice is to be offered will be with lesser or greater clarity, depending upon the elevated state or the purified state of consciousness that they have and the guidance that they're receiving. Obviously, different people read the Bhagavad Gita in different ways. when Benjamin Franklin was very young, he wrote a little. He was a very religious man. He was a vegetarian. He believed in reincarnation, and he came to those conclusions because of his, not because people that were Christian told him that. He just came to those conclusions. But he wrote one little epithet that said, "My friend and I read the Bible day and night. He reads black and I read white. Two people reading the same thing come to different conclusions. Black and white different. Opposite. Same thing. Because one can certainly read with one's own filters. And you see what you want to see. And you don't see what you don't want to see. Our consciousness is limited and contaminated, and therefore we have to receive shabda, or spiritual sound. During the japa retreat, I'm going to be speaking some about shabda, because that's what the Maha Mantra is. You know, who knows the meaning of the Maha Mantra? Who can explain the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mantra? So many people chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. What does it mean? And even if you're given the meaning, you won't understand the meaning without proper hearing. Hearing from the proper source can give the proper meaning. That's what Shabda Brahman is. It's descending sound vibration. Let's go back to chapter 3, and here we are, spirit souls in a material atmosphere. Now, how we get out of the material atmosphere, that's the mandate. Even if we don't know what the goal is, there it is, that's the goal, get out of the material atmosphere. We don't belong here. And we try to make it a nice place, it's not going to work, because it's not a fit place for the soul to be. We're meant to be in the spiritual atmosphere. How can you create the spiritual atmosphere in the material atmosphere? By the process of applying the principle of sacrifice. And even you get that far, you can still get it wrong. You can be, you know, very sincerely misguided or misdirected. It happens. So the proper guidance, the proper application of the principle is necessary. Krishna is very kind. I'm going to read something from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna's in a very broad-minded way, very liberal way, he's accepting other types of where's the verse? No, anyway. Ekatvena pratakvena bahuda vishvato mukham. Where's that verse?
720.
No, no, no. 720? Look it up in the index. Nine 15, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 15. Krishna in chapter 9 text in this its section, Krishna is describing those who worship him improperly. Then he describes those that worship him properly. He describes the Mahatma. for those that worship him improperly, moga asha, moga karmano, moga jnana vicheta saha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views in that deluded condition. Their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Then those who are not deluded, mahatmas, mahatmanas tamam partha daivim prakritim ashrita, bhajanti ananya manaso, that's what they do. Ananya manasa, their minds are undeviated from the personality of Godhead. That's what their minds do. And then this is what their bodies do. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drita. They're the topmost devotees. Then this verse 15, Krishna goes down. Well, they may not be topmost devotees, but I accept these others as also my devotees. And who are those? Others who engage in sacrifice. Notice the word sacrifice is again presented. By the cultivation of knowledge. Worship of the Supreme Lord is one without a second. As diverse in many and in the universal form. So, there's my devotees who are topmost, and then there's others. It's a very broad, liberal description. Because there's narrow descriptions. And that's ananya bhakti. Nothing else. Squeaky clean. Only one thing. Undivided devotion to Krishna. That's because bhakti is pure. Like Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti. Anyavilasita shunyam. Nothing else but jnana karma jnavritam. So that's the goal. It's like how Prabhupada has translated and given his explanation of 424 verse that we chanted together. It's Krishna consciousness. In the fourth chapter, Krishna is not just speaking, oh, you can do this one, that one, the other one. Yatamatatapat. That's not what Krishna is saying. He's describing a principle, and the principle in his topmost stage is undivided devotion, sacrifice to the Supreme Person. Then there's others that take that principle and apply it in a less complete way. Just as he's doing again in chapter 9, text 15. Ekatvena means, look in the purport, he who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. Krishna is very liberal. He says, that's also my devotee. Because there's some sacrifice that's being made. Two, he who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that. That's the pratakdvena bahuda, the worship of pantheism. God is many. And then the universal form, vishvato mukham. As a very liberal rendering, very nice, but it's incomplete. A very narrow presentation is they missed the mark altogether. They're taking the principle of sacrifice and applying it wrongly or with misconception. So you can look at it liberally, you can look at it narrowly. In either case, it's important to understand the essence. Where is it all? Even if it's the liberal presentation, where is it all going? What in its matured stage? What is it? What's the message of Bhagavad Gita? What's the goal of life? What's the soul that's entangled in matter to do? Is really what Krishna is saying, whatever you like, do that. That's not what Krishna is saying. There's the topmost form, just like he says at the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Of all different elevating principles, most important is the connecting link with the Supreme. And of all connecting links with the Supreme, the topmost is Shraddhavan Bhajate Yomam. So supposing somebody doesn't want to do that, or they don't have faith in Krishna. So Krishna makes, okay, here's another arrangement. If you can't do that, do this. Like the 12th chapter. If you can't do that, you do the next thing. If you can't do that, you do the next thing. He's very liberal because he's inclusive. But where is it all meant to take one to? Doesn't mean, you know, all paths take you to the same place. All paths lead to Rome, as the saying goes. There's a progression, or like a yoga ladder. There's a step-by-step of evolution of consciousness. And what's that stage of perfection of consciousness? It's very clear. Very, very, very clearly expressed in Bhagavad Gita. Mind fixed upon Krishna, intelligence always engaged in Him. In such a state, one always abides in Him, always, without a doubt. That's stated very explicitly in Bhagavad Gita. So these other processes, if one follows them, what happens? If one follows them properly, purification. And from purification, then the capacity to realize further. And with that realizing further, then taking up something that is commensurate with that further realization. You understand the point? Like so many of us, this application is, so many of us, we're doing so many things. You know, go around the room and take a little survey of what different things we were doing. And it's, you know, sure, it's a very interesting list. We're all doing something different. Every one of us. And because we're doing something different, doesn't mean that was wrong or something like that. You know, now we're doing something right instead of something wrong. It's a stage of evolving of consciousness. And when in contact with, by good fortune, when in contact with this rendering of the message of Bhagavad Gita in an unadulterated fashion, in pure disciplic succession, it cleanses. That's the Shabda Brahman properly transmitted, and if we receive it properly, then it's all very, very clear. I mean, it's just a little anecdotal thing. Not so long ago, I was attending a Bhakti Vriksha gathering in New Jersey, someone's home. No, it was in Chicago suburbs. And one of the things they do at the beginning of those Bhakti Vriksha groups is they have go around the room or invite people to say, did you have any realizations that you'd like to share with others during this past week? And one person was really enthusiastic to share. He said, "Since I was a small boy, I've had an attraction to spiritual teachings. And I've read Bhagavad Gita so many times. I've attended so many Bhagavad Gita study groups. And I never really understood Bhagavad Gita. I knew that I didn't understand Bhagavad Gita. I wanted to understand Bhagavad Gita. And now I've been coming to this discussion for about 8 weeks. And it's all very clear. It's so amazingly clear. And I feel very happy inside. And because I feel happy inside, then he was just like going. He said, I've got an anger problem.
not like a real heavy anger problem, but I got an anger problem. You know, in a place, something happens at work and people start pointing the fingers at each other and backbiting and doing all that stuff they do in the office. It makes me angry. Not really, I don't get out of control, but it's angry. And now that's gone. I didn't do anything to make it go away, it's just, it's gone. And because now I don't have to deal with that anger, I can understand why people are behaving the way that they're behaving, and I can do something that can help them to get over their behaving the way that they're behaving. And I'm not angry. It's like amazing. And all I'm doing is chanting Hare Krishna and coming to the Bhagavad Gita classes. I just wish I had recorded that. It was really nice. Because it's contact, when there is contact with Shabda Brahman, or transcendental vibration that's transmitted without adulteration and received with some sincerity, it cleanses, it acts. And with that cleansing and the action, it brings one closer to the goal. Not just Brahman and Paramatma, but the personal feature, the personality of Godhead, and the loving exchanges and so forth, the opportunity to serve Him directly. The opportunity to serve Krishna is very, very, very special. Krishna is very kind. But how many people are eager to serve Him? We're very fortunate to have that opportunity and to be guided to that position by this very nice presentation of Bhagavad Gita. So we also should be very enthusiastic to give other people the opportunity to receive Bhagavad Gita and hear its message and explained and discussed in the association of devotees. That's what our lives are about. Nice big sign, your Ananda Mela sign. I bet you have lots of Bhagavad Gita's distributed at the Ananda Mela. Lots. Good. Just had a fantastic experience in New York. I'll just end with this little following the footsteps of Hari Vilas. I'll appreciate the preaching of Ramabhadra Prabhu. It's been the 40th anniversary of Radha Govinda's installation in Jaipur by Srila Prabhupada, in the presence of the Queen of Jaipur, who gave Radha Govinda as a gift because she was so moved by Srila Prabhupada's glories, just being in his presence. So each of the festival events, Ramabhadra has been meditating, and you know, I've been hearing about it for a year and a half, and how he how he's been planning this thing out, and so it just happened. Rath Yatra wasn't just a Rath Yatra; it was a 10-day festival, and each evening was something, and then another something, and then another something, and another something, and another something. It started off 300 people, and then the next night was 500 people, and then it was 1,000 people, and then it was 2,000 people, and just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And each night, something fantastic. And it went on till midnight. After the program was over, and everyone went down, the 2,000 people went downstairs to take prasadam, a whole group stayed in the temple room and just had kirtan till midnight. Every night. I mean, it was ecstatic. I mean, I don't know how the cooks lived through it. But they lived through it, and the restaurant was open the Tuesday afterwards. Just amazing. People came from all over the place. And the Rath Yatra Festival. I've been to Rath Yatra since the first Rath Yatra. I missed one, actually. I went to a BBT meeting. But other than that, all the Rath Yatras, and it was the best. I don't normally say like that. It was just amazing. So many people. Anyway, And so many books distributed. And from those books, names, and just like you're going to do, Ananda Mela. So it's going on besides in Seattle. With the spreading of Krishna consciousness in a fantastic way. The lineup of VIPs that Ramabhadra had invited was very nice. I'm kind of bubbling from all of that experience, as you will be when you do your Ananda Mela and so many other things all summer long, giving Krishna consciousness to others. So any discussion from the verse this evening? Yes?
Maharaj, I have two questions. One is, as you said, the act itself will not be spiritual, but the consciousness behind the act will make it spiritual. So let's say, take an example of offering water. Like when one devotee offers with the feeling that, okay, I am going to get devotion to Krishna, that is spiritual. But when somebody does it just thinking that it's an auspicious activity and I will get rid of the sins, so does that act is just a material act?
No. I mean, it's less spiritual, but it's not material either. In other words, there's some submission. And in that some submission, Krishna accepts that some submission. They may want to wash their hands. And, you know, that's their submission. Krishna, please make my unclean condition clean. I want to get freed from sins. But that's the material portion. But the spiritual portion, there's some submission. And Krishna accepts that. Yeah.
You said that in the Maharloka, as the living entities, in the higher planetary systems, they are more less towards the sense gratification because they are more in the mode of goodness.
No, I didn't say more in the mode of goodness. They're more in the spiritual conception. Their attraction is more to Lord Vishnu and the act of sacrifice to Lord Vishnu. And less in the position of enjoying. So.
So the question is, when we compare to the Earth planet and the heavenly planets,
yeah,
then it says that there is more enjoyment in the heavenly planets than Earth. So, as you said, when we progress or go, the
enjoyment is more spiritual than in the heavenly planets. Less sense gratification, more spiritual happiness. Another kind of happiness.
They say that there are Nandanandana gardens and somaras.
Yeah, more than that. More than that, because it's spiritual. Spiritual is more than that.
Yes.
Yes.
How to get off from material energy without wanting to get out. You know, Bhakti says that you shouldn't even aim for mukti. How can you do that by the time that you're suffering?
You've asked three questions in a short span of time. A very advanced devotee, as Lord Chaitanya was presenting himself as a devotee, a very advanced devotee is already liberated, so they don't need to aspire for liberation because devotional service is from that platform. So to keep it simple, because your question, take it in pieces, your question is complex. Although he just spoke three sentences. To keep it simple, the message that you should receive is desire devotional service, which means that Krishna should be pleased. Cultivate the desire
for devotional service in such a manner that Krishna will be pleased. And that's more elevated than desiring liberation, because it includes liberation and it's more than what liberation can give one.
That's personal. That's why they're personal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And those that desire liberation, here's the statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita: Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Sakale Ashanta. Ashanta, one is not peaceful as long as one is desiring these things. So devotee isn't desiring liberation, but is desiring Krishna service. At least desiring to have that desire. Or desiring to have the desire to have that desire. Desiring to associate with those that are desiring that desire. The answer is to be attached to Krishna, is cultivate attachment to Krishna. And yes, the Supreme Person, but yes. And that's beyond liberation. The material atmosphere, the distasteful, unwanted portion of being in this material atmosphere is mitigated by devotion to Krishna. It fades. It fades into oblivion. It becomes the spiritual atmosphere instead, by that principle of devotional service or sacrifice. Yes? You didn't raise your hand, but you always have a question. I could feel it way back, way over here. Go ahead.
So, we never speak against people who speak Yathamata Pasopata, like, you can do what you like. But it looks like Krishna is a little bit lenient and he allows a little bit of.
He's both lenient and strict. Krishna is very versatile. Should we imitate Krishna? We just hear what Krishna's message is, and according, appropriate for your position, you maintain that. So we're not in Krishna's position. We're not in Prabhupada's position. But we can try to understand Krishna's words and Prabhupada's explanation of Krishna's words. We don't walk around with a stick and hit people. The Bhagavad Gita stick and just... We can, as I tried to present both sides. There's a very narrow and there's a very broad presentation. There's an inclusive and there's an exclusive feature of bhakti. And in the topmost position is exclusive. Ananya Pak. Or Ananya Chintayanto Mam. Ejana Paryupasate. And unto such persons, Tesham. Krishna gives, Krishna guides and takes charge of that person's life. And then there's, then there's others. Like this description here, where someone makes a sacrifice because they don't want entanglement and sinful reactions. They're selfish motivated. But there's still some submission, so Krishna is kind, he accepts the submission. Yes?
Maharaj, you said that when we are using material, objects, but consciousness is behind there, so it becomes spiritual. So the question is, if like you give the example of, RTE or
yes.
L.
Yes.
So can we be doing some nonsensical materialistic thing and can have a right consciousness?
Do you have any nice example? Or is that just a theoretical thing?
Just a theoretical thing.
Yeah, it's a theoretical thing. There's no such thing. Something
so,
else?
So that means if we are doing something mundane, that means it is not Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. How can you do something mundane in service to Krishna? If you're doing something in service to Krishna, it's not mundane. If you're doing something mundane, it's not in service to Krishna. We have examples in scripture and in life of great Vaishnava personalities where they do things that we cannot imitate, but the consciousness behind those things is fully transcendental. Like the Alvar that built a Sri Rangam temple, and you know, when he went to ask the materialistic people for donations to reconstruct the temple for the deity, they wouldn't give, and so he did it in a different way. But the consciousness was pure. So it wasn't a material activity. It was devotional service to Lord Ranganath. Yes?
Maya is material in nature.
What's that?
Maya is material in nature.
The Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna. Maya means not seeing the connection of things with Krishna. That's Maya.
Right. So I heard there are two types.
Two types.
Mahamaya and Yogamaya, are they different?
One's the expansion of the other. One's the shadow of the other. Is there a difference between the object and the shadow of an object? They're connected, but they're different. The verse Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata mudho yam nabhi janati. You know that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Naham prakasha sarvasya. I don't prakash. I don't manifest myself before the fools. Yogamaya samavrata. I cover myself by my yogamaya potency. They can't see me, although I'm there. They see something else. They don't see me because of my yogamaya potency. That yogamaya potency is an expansion of the potency by which they're covered is an expansion of Krishna's internal potency. Mahamaya is an expansion of Krishna's Yogamaya. As the shadow is coming from the object. Maybe something that will help you is it's saying the same thing in a different way. In the advent of Krishna, there were six sons of Devaki that were killed by Kamsa. The seventh child of Devaki was Balaram. So Krishna, knowing that Balaram was within the womb of Devaki, called Yogamaya, his internal potency, and gave her some service. Correct? You with me? The service, there was several parts. This is Balaram, my first expansion. Transfer him from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And then when that is done, you appear in the womb of Yashoda.
as her daughter. And I will appear as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, the eighth child. Because the seventh child was transferred. I'll appear as the eighth child. And then after I am born, Vasudeva will come and carry me to where the side of Yashoda, and he'll exchange me for you. And you'll be brought back into the prison house of Kamsa by Vasudeva. And Kamsa's going to come and try to kill you. But don't worry, he can't kill you. You're my potency. And instead, you will then appear throughout the land as Durga and various names of not Yogamaya, but Mahamaya, or the external potency, deluding potency, the one in charge of this material creation. Same. Differently manifest for a different purpose according to the regard that those living entities have towards Krishna. Yayatam mam papadyante. Alright? You look happy. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila
Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.
Maharaj is going to be at last tomorrow morning at 5:15 at Vitaranga Bhuvan House, which is just in a back street down there. And this is the Prabhuji. If you want to raise your hand. If you would like to join, please ask him for a dress. Also, we have a birthday of